Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Glamier. Hi, this is Dr. Tabitha Mir. I'm a cosmetic dermatologist, owner, and founder of Mir Skin Cosmetic in New York City, and star of an Emmy Award-winning Bravo TV show. My podcast is all about great conversations with your favorite celebrities, media personalities, and well-known experts in the worlds of lifestyle, celebrity, relationships, and more. Through their stories, I hope to uplift, inspire, and educate. This is Glamier. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Glamier, and I've got one of my favorite Bravo TV personalities, Tabitha Coffey. It's such a freaking honor to be here with you right now.
Oh, thanks for having me. I love that.
I've been watching you since Sheer Genius, then you had Tabitha's Takeover. So you're back on Bravo now with a new show that talks about you coming into people's homes and people's businesses that are family-owned businesses and basically helping to revamp it and help them make money.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm still doing what I love and what I'm good at and mm-hmm. what everyone out there loves as well, which is going into people's businesses. The difference now is that they're family businesses. Mm-hmm. And you know, family businesses are such a strong part of the American economy.
Yeah.
And there are so many out there, and it has a whole level of drama mm-hmm. added to it because it's family.
Yeah.
So it's been really amazing to go into not just businesses that need some help mm-hmm. and revamping, dealing with the family dynamics that go along with it.
Yeah. And what it is the drama behind a family business. Not only do you have to work together to make this business succeed, then there's the interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's fascinating because so many small businesses are family-owned businesses. What do you find is sort of the biggest challenge that family-owned businesses have to remain successful?
First and foremost, it's communication. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not communicating properly and having rules in place, having a leader mm-hmm. and that person that is actually accountable and answerable and the person that calls the shots and takes care of everything, things start to crumble. Mm-hmm. The other thing is because it's family, it's sometimes taken for granted.
Yes.
And people don't have those structures in place to not just have someone at the top and a boss there to mm-hmm. go to make sure there's direction, mm-hmm. but also to play into other people's strengths.
Right.
And they don't think about diversification enough. Sometimes family businesses tend to be very insular and don't think about ways to include more things into their business, grow in a different way. Mm-hmm. They tend to not have any kind of succession plan in place. Mm-hmm. And then you have all the just emotional stuff, which is the family stuff.
Right. And a lot of hurt feelings and a lot of emotions and a lot of passions about what they think should be.
There's a lot of denial.
Oh. You know,
there's a lot of denial where people are coming in as grown-ups and adults, mm-hmm. but still are carrying all of these childhood things with them, and mm-hmm. they're bringing them into the business.
Yeah.
And they haven't dealt with all of that drama. So now they're dealing with it in the workplace. So instead of, you know, dad tells me to do this because mm-hmm. I work for him mm-hmm. and I'm working in the business, mm-hmm. I turn around, it's like, well, you've never liked me anyway, dad, and you've never appreciated
so
what
everything
I do.
Comes
it
out.
It just becomes very personal.
Yeah. And it's interesting what you just said about the dynamics. Like, if I were working with an employer that I'm not related to, and that employer says to me, you know what, we need task A and B completed by the end of the day, I would mm-hmm. do whatever it takes if I wanted to keep my job to make sure those are completed. If my sister or my family, it would be like, meh. And, you know, we're all guilty of that. And that's another reason why things can go.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's one of the biggest problems. And that's where the communication comes in. It's not just communication of who is the boss. Mm-hmm. It's the communication of kind of separating the family BS mm-hmm. and all the junk that we carry with us. Mm-hmm. And not following through because, you know what, it's only my sister. Yeah. She won't care. She'll do it for me because it's my sister. Or my dad never liked me, mm-hmm. never thought I did anything good enough. It's all of that stuff we carry.
Mm-hmm.
And that really impacts the business in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And also any other staff that you have working in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that's been really fascinating is the businesses I've gone into, they're families in many different ways. You know, they're husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
They're stepchildren.
Yep.
In a business, there's the second
stepmother. Yeah, right. The second mother.
So
yeah,
there's all of these different dynamics that come in, and that brings up the resentment and the emotions and all of the things that are happening that are playing out now in a business.
And you've always been known as having a reputation of a straight shooter. No bullshit. If you don't like the way something's happening, Tabitha will tell you. And I think having that reputation probably helped a lot. Or no, am I wrong? Is it like they just didn't care?
You know what? Sometimes it helps and sometimes it hinders because I think people have such an assumption of who I am.
Yeah.
And that part of me is true because mm-hmm. they've seen me for so long. So mm-hmm. they know what I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
That they have it in their head how I'm going to behave, and mm-hmm. that's not always
yeah.
how I'm going to behave.
I understand.
Sometimes they're so incredibly scared and freaked out that I'm there that
they can't function.
Nelly becomes like a paralysis for
them.
So it depends. Sometimes it is really helpful because they know I'm not going to put up with any BS, and then sometimes it actually makes them worse
because
they just freak out.
They freak out. So I saw a little bit of the first episode, the preview of it, and it's interesting because a lot of the dynamics are like, you hit the ground running with this show. You have, and I want you to chime in if I get any of this wrong.
Okay.
But from what it looked like, it was a pizza company that was a very successful pizza company led by the patriarch.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a second wife mm-hmm. that is not the mother of the children. And he has some siblings. It looked like a couple sisters, maybe a son.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like there was tension between the wife and the siblings.
You totally have it down.
Okay, yeah.
It's a fascinating story, and it really is one of many.
Mm-hmm.
He is so lovable.
Mm-hmm.
Joe just is a lovable guy, has a great business, has grown his family business, mm-hmm. is a true rags to riches story.
Mm-hmm.
He really is.
Yeah.
And
he's very likable.
He's more than likable.
Yeah.
He really is.
Yeah.
He's just more than likable. You have a really hard time not falling in love with him and thinking he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to know him and start to hear his story about what he's been through, he lost his wife, he brought his kids up by himself. He really devoted to them, and that's mm-hmm. why this business was so important. The mm-hmm. whole thing is just this amazing story.
It's a beautiful story of a beautiful family business that's rags to riches.
You know, he's done really well, and he's kind of included his children in the business. And, yeah, it was his time. So mm-hmm. he got married to this fabulous, diva-esque, ex-model, wonderful woman, and there's a lot of jealousy involved because,
yeah.
of course, now she's part of the family.
Yeah.
And started to put her two cents worth
mm-hmm.
in how he could change the business and what he should do
mm-hmm.
because he was looking at an exit plan.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with this?
He wanted an end goal, which
of
is,
course.
Does he want to be doing this the rest of his life? Or as many businesses, we should be thinking about, like, do we want to be bought out? Like,
mm-hmm.
you have to think about these things. If you're in a position to start a business, what's the end goal? Is the end goal just to kind of run it for the rest of your life? It's exhausting. You know,
it is exhausting. And when it is a business that is a family business,
mm-hmm.
that is one of the number one things that actually is something that family businesses don't think about is a succession plan. What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
Is it passing it on to the next generation? Is it selling it and making a profit? Is it dissolving it?
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this in the right way so it's financially feasible
mm-hmm.
And it keeps the business going mm-hmm. and have that conversation? And it's a really hard conversation to have.
It is, because it deals with mortality
does.
And in families, that's more personal.
Yeah, and it's super uncomfortable mm-hmm. and everyone has a hard time with it, but it's something that has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating to watch this because you start to realize how important it is in all levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's something, unfortunately, as a family, we all have to experience at some point.
Yes.
As a business owner, we should be thinking about it
mm-hmm.
and just see how his children butt heads with everyone.
Yeah. It was such a fascinating intro because I think it's highly relatable. You've got the patriarch with his new, beautiful, glamorous wife, and then the children who it appears have a problem accepting her and taking her input seriously. And I think that's a common story. I actually know a family like this, and it's very common. Yeah. And, you know, I think that across, over the years, you've had this reputation with business because of your shows that you've been on. So you kind of, as an advisor, have that credibility now to be able to help them. Do you feel that this show, if you're watching it just for pure entertainment, that's one thing. But if you're a business and you're watching the show, do you think that there's something that a small business owner can learn from watching?
I really think there's something that we can all learn, whether you're a small business owner or not, because we all have a family.
Yeah.
So if you're a small business owner, yes, you will be able to watch this and think, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. I should try that. That's an interesting way of looking at things. You'll learn something from it as a business owner or a budding entrepreneur, for sure. Mm-hmm. But we all have a family.
Yeah.
We all know what that rivalry is like. And, you know, we butt heads with our family. Mm-hmm. We love them sometimes. We hate them sometimes. Mm-hmm. We know that feeling. Mm-hmm. So I think just watching it and looking at it from that point of view and seeing the family dynamics come into play will be really interesting for people. And maybe we'll learn about some of the ways we interact with our own families.
Yeah, I do like that because it is very much a family dynamics. So, you know, you start off in the hair industry. And the reason I bring this up is because Sheer Genius, and then you had your salon takeover, and, you know, you've morphed from, you've had two careers almost. The hair is then this advising business entrepreneur side of you. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, kind of for sure.
What have you kind of learned along the way that seems to be the biggest mistake people make when they want to start business, their own business?
I think when people are first starting off, one of the biggest mistakes is not planning. Mm-hmm. You need, for anything, you need a really strong foundation to be able to build up from that foundation. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's not a strong financial foundation. It's not a strong planning foundation. There's a lot of desire and passion there, but there's not that game plan of how am I going to build this? What is this going to look like? Mm-hmm. How am I going to market myself? How am I going to get staff? It's all the things that we need as a business owner. Mm-hmm. The other thing that people struggle with in business is being mean.
Being mean, yeah.
So it becomes that thing where, especially for women, women struggle more, I would say, than men do, is saying what they need and saying what they want and holding people accountable.
Holding people accountable.
And feeling bad about it instead of feeling, realizing that this is a business and I am the boss and that's what you should be feeling like.
And maybe what you just said about being mean, maybe it's that they feel it's mean, whereas it really is about accomplishing and being assertive and getting the job done.
I think women have, just in general, have a really hard time. They don't realize that honest and being honest and saying, here's what I need, here's what you need to do, here's what I need from you, here is what my expectation is. Here's what I'm asking you to do as your boss, doing those kind of things. They don't know how to differentiate it from being looked at as mean or bitchy.
Yeah.
And it isn't. It's just being honest and being a good leader and being forthright and being all of those things. So it's something that women definitely struggle with and they tend to question themselves or let things slide much more than they should because they don't want to take care of it straight away for being judged in the wrong way.
Your show that you had, Tabitha Takeover, I remember there was a lot, I feel like there was a lot of that going on. Like you'd have business owners that would own a salon, and then there was a boss. I remember this kind of theme happened where it was difficult for the person who was ahead of that business to implement and delegate and follow through with it with their staff. And a lot of times the staff laziness, is that a bad word, lazy?
No, not at all. I mean, it's a bad word because I hate lazy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't.
But
it's
nothing else to describe it. The laziness and the apathy of the staff was apparent because the leadership was lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And that I find that that happens a lot too, especially when you're running a business with multiple staff.
It does. And you need, you know, to be a leader, you need to have a game plan. Mm-hmm. You need to let people know what is expected from them.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to motivate them in the right way. And mm-hmm. you need to have empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can understand how they're feeling mm-hmm. and give them the tools that they need to mm-hmm. do their job properly
mm-hmm.
and hold them accountable when they're not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're not going to thrive and prosper either.
Mm-hmm.
Your business isn't going to thrive and prosper
mm-hmm.
if you don't hold your staff accountable and make yeah. sure things are done properly. But also the individual is not going to
they're
thrive
not.
And prosper.
And so personally, I had a practice and I had to hire office managers. It was the bane of my existence. Because in the beginning, everybody wanted to be my friend. And I'm like, I don't need a friend. Like, my office manager would come in and say, oh, my boyfriend last night. I'm like, duh. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. So I almost had to be extra mean, but not mean, malicious mean, but like tough, because I didn't want to know about their social life. I didn't want to spend time in the morning talking about what they did last evening because I really wanted to get the job done. And it was harder for me to experience. It's like almost at work, I was like this tough, you know, icy, whatever, but that's not really what I wanted to be. But I felt like I had to resort to that for people to get the job done, especially when I'm working with other women. Is that something you find happens?
You just proved my whole point.
Yeah.
You just did the whole point that I just made because
yeah.
you called yourself mean.
Yeah.
When it's not being mean, it's just being assertive.
Yeah.
And it's understanding there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah.
And it isn't about being friends.
No.
It's about being a boss
mm-hmm.
and a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, you know, as a leader, I feel like part of my job is expecting more from you than you expect from yourself.
Yeah.
Because I know how to channel that and get it out of you in the right way and push you towards the things that you wouldn't necessarily do by yourself.
Yeah.
And that's not mean.
No, it's not. But I found myself having to be like just extra icy. And I wasn't mean like, oh, like mean connotates disrespectful. I was always very respectful and very to the point. But I remember there would be moments where I'm like, I am not having drinks with you after work. I am not, you know, it was the beginning of the boss relationship. So I remember feeling that way and thinking, man, I'm actually a very nice, easygoing person. But at work, so that was stressful for me at first. And I also found that when you're relating to sometimes the people that you're trying to advise, don't take it very well. They take it as insulting. What advice would you give? I found that if I had something that bothered me about a way a person was performing, I would sit down and have a conversation with them. But oftentimes it was received very personally, like I was personally attacking them. What would you say to something? How would you advise?
I think people receive how they want to receive. They have a right to receive it however way they want to.
Gotcha.
But I also think it's explaining to people in the right context of why this needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And again, part of it is having empathy and understanding how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
If you reversed it, how would you feel if you were in their shoes?
Mm-hmm.
But what is the outcome? Mm-hmm. You know, and
what's
I've
the
had
end
some
goal?
Pretty difficult conversations with staff about
yeah.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always of, here's what happened. Here's how clients view you, or here's how it affects your bottom line or your productivity or whatever it is. And I think when you explain the big picture of why something needs to change and how it's translating to others,
mm-hmm.
It takes some of the personal out.
Right. Now, just imagine combining all of this with working with your family.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
What are some sneak peeks or tidbits or things in this season's show that particularly struck out at you that you can possibly tell us a little bit without giving up too much?
You know, I think as I was just talking about Joe from the first episode and the dynamics of him, I mean, you will see stepchildren together
mm-hmm.
and that dynamic, which is something really common,
mm-hmm.
right? We all know people or
mm-hmm.
we're from a step family
mm-hmm.
where there's one parent, but then, you know, another children come into the mix from another marriage. That's a really interesting dynamic. Unfortunately, someone passed away really suddenly
mm-hmm.
and it left that was the rock mm-hmm. and the creative genius of the family, and kind of left everyone floundering with no way to go and no kind of anchor.
And that happens a lot.
That happens a lot
as
well.
That happens a lot.
A married couple that it's really just driven such a wedge
into their marriage.
Into their marriage that is just hard to watch at times. Mm-hmm. So, I just think it's so relatable. There are so many a gay, you know, that hasn't come out.
Mm.
He's not come out to his family yet.
Wow.
But they're working together. So the whole life, you know, the whole like personal life is private. There's a lot of real life things there.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it.
Yeah.
And what is fascinating and what I hope everyone else will love about it is you can look and go, oh, that's so my family, or mm-hmm. I can so relate to that, or that's so my friend, you know,
yeah.
I can totally relate to that.
And I love that. I love that what's happening here is you're creating a show that has the ability to really enrich people and what they're watching, like watching these family relationships and watching people navigate through it can actually enrich your experience as a viewer because you can relate to it or you know somebody that's going through that.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, the thing I've always been really proud of and the thing that I love and Bravo have always allowed me to do is to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why it works for me is because I really do care about helping people and mm-hmm. I really care about the businesses and mm-hmm. I love the challenge of coaching people through not just in business mm-hmm. but in interpersonal relationships mm-hmm. and I know how important family is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the challenge
yeah.
and it's the hard work
mm-hmm.
but it's also the big payoff for me.
Yeah.
And I think it does allow you to make something that really does. It's entertaining for sure.
Yeah.
Right. We all love to look at someone else's life and go, oh my God, they're a hot mess. I'm glad I'm so good.
I'm glad I'm perfect.
We all love that.
Yeah.
But during that process, you're still watching something going, wow, I can really, I relate to that, or I can implement that in my business, or maybe I should speak to my sister a little nicer than I do.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Inspiring conversations on lifestyle, celebrity, relationships, and more. This is Glamier with Dr. Tabitha Amir.
This is your third show with Bravo.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? They were all fabulous, you know, every single one. And they're fabulous because I think you as a personality and them allowing them to be you really resonates. What's it like? You know, I don't often meet, I don't think I know anyone who's had three shows on Bravo. What's that like and what's the most exciting part of this for you?
Honestly, just doing what I do.
Yeah.
I know it's weird. The cameras are secondary to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the interaction and kind of in the trenches with the families. And from my previous shows,
mm-hmm.
I'm still in contact with a lot of those business owners. I see them at hair shows or book signings or events, or they have my email or telephone number. They reach out to me, or I kind of stalk them a little bit and follow them on social media and
yeah.
see what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I see their successes and I know that they're doing well. And, I'm always so proud to see them and so grateful that they've let me into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a really big part of it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that success is the success that I love. Yes, it's lovely to be on TV and
yeah.
Bravo's a great home for me.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
it's a good place for me to have a show of the caliber that I have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really kind of getting in there and working with these businesses
and being able to help. Yeah.
yeah.
Over the last, since I would say since Sheer Genius till now, okay, all these years that you've been in the eye, you've noticed, I'm sure, how how much social media has changed the dynamic of businesses. And now you're not having a social media channel is suicide for for a business. What have you noticed about the way social media has impacted businesses, especially, you know, when you're in beauty, like, you know, you are and I am, but any business, what have you noticed about social media impacting a business?
Which it can change everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that it can drive business to you now, it's the thing that people actually use. Mm-hmm. So once we would talk to our friends for referrals or, you know, we would do what we did, now we'll actually use social media before we sometimes ask our friends. Statistically, it's been proven that people will actually buy a product or frequent a business because of social media.
Yeah.
So it's an amazing tool. The fact that it is free, and hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah.
The fact that it is free and that you can do it really easily, you don't need anything fancy to be able to actually curate a good, you know, social media site is fantastic. And it's just always amazing to me that businesses don't pick up on that.
It's
and
amazing.
I do a lot of classes, you know, and I work especially within the beauty industry, but I do a lot of speaking events and classes. And one of my classes is on social media and just how incredibly important it is for businesses. And there's often the excuse of, oh, it's too hard and I don't have this and I don't have
that. People make excuses about it. They make it more complicated than it should be.
You don't need that. Mm-hmm. It is just so easy. You know, you can link everything together and you can reach such a vast audience that we never had that opportunity to before as business owners.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at some of these beauty brands, hair, makeup. I really feel in the past 3 years, it's exploded in the industry that we're specifically referring to in any business. But now a company that has just started can start aggressively putting things on Instagrams, like swatches of their makeup or hair that they're doing, anything you can imagine, and they start accruing followers because they're interesting, they're engaging, and all of a sudden it turns into this big business. I mean, all of a sudden, meaning over time. People make excuses about why social media is hard, but they also make mistakes. What blunders do you think are some of the blunders you've seen with people's social media? Because you probably have seen a lot of blunders.
You know, when you're a business or you're a brand or anything like that, you have to remember that you're a business or you're a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to separate the personal out of it. So that's something that a lot of businesses have a hard time with.
Yeah.
And they post totally inappropriate things for a business.
Yeah.
So if you want to post, you know, the selfies and maybe out with the girls having a drink, the bikini shot, all of those kind of things, that's great on your personal page.
Yeah.
It doesn't always translate well to your business page and it doesn't bring people in.
No, and it can turn people off.
You know, you have to really look at that. You also have to look at what is it I'm trying to tell people, because social media is just a story.
It is.
Right? So you're telling a story, if it's Instagram, in pictures. You know, sometimes you can add words. If it's Twitter, Facebook, we all know that. But what story am I telling? So you need to have a plan in place. And, you know, what is it I'm selling? Who is it I'm trying to attract? What would appeal to that person in pictures? And what can I tell them to make them want to like, hover, come back tomorrow and see what else I'm posting? And then consistency is key.
Yeah. I think you've said it in a remarkable way. That's such a gem of advice, because oftentimes, especially in some businesses are brick and mortar businesses and some are freelance. A lot of people I know who do freelance will have one page that's both personal and professional. And then I'm looking at one point where I'm looking at a woman doing something with her architectural firm. And then the next photo is her birthday, her having a, you know, drink with the girls. Both are great photos, but they belong on two separate accounts.
Yeah. And there's a way to infuse both in there, right? So we all, you know, social media works on a rule of thirds, and part of that is personal. So you want people to know who you are and who your brand is and what's behind the brand or who's the driving force behind it, for sure. But it's doing it in the right way. And there are ways to do it that don't offend or turn people off or make it feel like it's too personal, because if it's too uptight, then people aren't going to want into it either.
Yeah.
But when you throw it all together, it definitely doesn't work. And you don't have that clear, concise brand message that you're trying to push out, which you need to for a business.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's something important, because a lot of times people will say, well, I don't know how to do social media. And what you just said is so simple and clear about what to do. Sometimes personal is best left on a personal page, mm-hmm. and keep a professional separate. And also photo quality too, if we're going to get nitty gritty, just make sure your photo quality is well enough so that a picture can tell 1,000 words.
Yeah, but and you know what? That's easy, because now we all have a smartphone.
Yeah.
So whatever smartphone we have, typically they have really good cameras on there.
And the majority of pictures are from smartphones.
Right, so you can adjust your light if mm-hmm. you need to, and just make, if it's a little dark, make mm-hmm. it a little lighter. You don't need to go and invest a lot of you know, money on equipment and things like that. All smartphones now take really good quality pictures.
Do.
It's easy to adjust things without going in and totally face tuning it or airbrushing it or doing crazy things. Mm-hmm. Just adjust it enough so that it's clearer and mm-hmm. more visible, or you know, you highlight what you're trying to show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not really an excuse either.
Yeah.
I think it's it's doing a little planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's looking, if you're a business that is selling something and a service, which mm-hmm. most of us are mm-hmm. in some form or another,
mm-hmm.
it's looking at a calendar and saying, what's coming up? Should I be talking about the holidays coming, or Valentine's Day, or kids going
keeping
back
on
to
trend.
School, or summer, or, you know, and sharing fun information.
Mm-hmm.
And social media is also about learning. People want to learn.
Yeah.
So they want to be able to look and have a great recommendation or a hot tip or a hack or whatever it is that pertains to your industry
mm-hmm.
that you can help me.
Yeah. And people are seeking out information. They really are.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
They, especially in industries that are service related. You know, I found my eyelash girl on social media because mm-hmm. I looked up the hashtag eyelash extensions New York. So there she was. And it's really cool. It's very different now. And I find people that aren't on social media for that purpose, for their business, really do miss out on a lot.
Yeah, they do themselves and their business in service. I mean, you're cutting out a vast amount of reach that you would have mm-hmm. and potential revenue to bring in as well by not utilizing it.
I agree. One of the things I thought about when I was watching the show is that you're with these families for 3 weeks at a time, intensive weeks. What's that like for you?
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's exhausting. It's a different way of doing it. You know, before I would spend a week and it was every day I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized in hindsight mm-hmm. is it was amazing and it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But I tended to take over and hold hands a lot you know, and take charge.
Yeah.
And this being 3 weeks, because there are so many different elements in the business
mm-hmm.
and because it is family, it allows people to take responsibility for themselves. Mm-hmm. So you give them direction, but then they have to do the follow through.
Yeah.
And it's that constant check-in
mm-hmm.
of seeing who's following through, who's not, who's dropped the ball, who's picked it up,
mm-hmm.
how are they actually working, that will help put them on track
mm-hmm.
in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the really interesting part of doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a long time.
It is. 3 weeks is a long time.
Yeah. And it's exhausting because I become very vested in them, and I do that very quickly anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You really get to see what's happening, and you allow people to become them
mm-hmm.
because it's a long time, mm-hmm. and I'm not always there,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always watching.
Yeah. And that's very interesting, because with Tabitha Takes Over, it was 1 week mm-hmm. of almost like a boot camp.
Yeah.
And I never can, well, maybe I did, you know, like the viewers watching always wondered, 100% we wondered what would happen when you weren't there anymore, because for that 1 week you were on top of everyone.
And sometimes the people that wanted to change,
mm-hmm.
change.
Yeah.
And the people that don't. And,
yeah.
And you could tell as a viewer,
mm-hmm.
you could tell that's a little shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people would surprise you, but you would see,
you
know, change is hard for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the expectation was to expect people to make a large amount of change in a small amount of time, and mm-hmm. that's difficult.
That is difficult.
And then kind of throw it back to them and say, follow through.
Yeah.
So by extending it out and giving 3 weeks and not being, I'm still hands-on, but in a different way.
Yeah.
It really does allow people to start to make it a habit
and a transition.
And feel comfortable with the changes that you're asking them to make, which is good. And we'll hopefully have more of a sticking power as well. Although I had a great success rate, I have to say that.
Yeah.
And I think that just comes down to the people that really, really embraced the process and really saw that I was there in the right vein to really help them and did everything possible to kind of set them up on the road to success.
And I also feel you re-injected passion back into the business, because sometimes it's just you get a lull, you get complacent, you get bored, you get hope, like the hope is gone, and then you kind of re-inject that energy back in and they take that and run with it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think a lot of the businesses that I went into, they were in such bad shape, especially financially. That when things become that dire, you become scared and you're paralyzed.
Yeah, you're paralyzed.
And some people
and
would
you can't
prefer
make a move.
To just keep doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Even though they know it's the wrong thing and it's not working for them, they just keep doing it over and over again as opposed to changing, because that's so hard.
Yeah.
So I kind of came in and broke through that fear barrier, or pushed them through the fear barrier, which reinvigorated them and got them re-engaged and motivated.
And the challenges with this, with what you're doing now, with working with families, is you have a longer time period that you're with them, and now you're dealing with the emotions behind it. So that's a new challenge for you.
It's definitely much more emotional. I mean, it was emotional before,
but
in a different way. Mm-hmm. Because this is family, you can't separate the two.
No.
Right? There's no separation because it's family. So it's definitely higher emotion, that was on me as well, because I could also feel it. And I think that the viewer will see that as well.
I'm excited for the viewers to check this out. So, you know, you're a woman of many hats. So what's your goal now for the future for you? Like, you've got this great show. It's going to do to be success. What's next for Tabitha?
Well, hopefully more of the same.
Yeah.
You know, I love working with businesses. I've realized that I will never not be in the hairdressing industry, because that's my passion.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very active within the hair community. I'm very active with hairdressers. That is really my passion, because I am a hairdresser and I understand the business so well. So that's a big involvement. I'm also a business and life coach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I've really enjoyed that transition.
Mm-hmm.
And I've enjoyed, I do a lot of motivational speaking. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of corporate speaking. I do a lot of private coaching, one-on-one, either with businesses or a business owner and their staff, but also people that don't own a business yet, but really just have some breakthroughs that they want and have someone to hold them accountable. And that has been enjoyable for me.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. It's a different muscle that I guess I always had, but now I'm getting to flex it a lot more. So I've loved kind of building that portion of my business.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see.
How does somebody get in touch with you if they want private coaching?
Through my website. It's me on social media. So it's me on social media. It is me on my website. I'll be really honest. I haven't promoted it a lot because I've had people reach out to me.
Yeah.
Or I've been at events and people have talked about it and I've said, yes, I do coaching and I'm a certified coach and I've gone through all the training. So here are the skills that I have, and kind of work through it that way. I have some online things if people are interested. Just check out my website. Mm-hmm. It's being updated at the moment, so not everything is on there. And being totally honest, I've been a little busy and I'm working on things. A
lot busy.
But I have some great online content coming up, that there are some online classes. If you don't feel that you want a one-on-one coach, and that's fine as well. There's some great online coaching that I'll have available to you as well, some different classes that I'm doing that are really excited and I think people will love.
I mean, and you're a wealth of knowledge, and your experience can teach so many people, you know, how to kind of go about the right path if they're trying to get a business going, as well as just life events and things. You know, there's some great tips that you can give people,
advice. I think one of the biggest things that we can all do and pay it forward is we all have our skill.
Mm-hmm.
And we have it in business, and we have it personally as well. And I've always tried to be really honest about a lot of the things that I've gone through, both professionally and personally, in just the help of helping other people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when you share that, especially as women, but to everyone, when you share what you've gone through and the way you've gone through it and what's kind of gotten you through, it can help other people that maybe are having a tough time, aren't sure which way to go, and maybe don't have the guidance. So I think it's important.
I mean, it's great. It's wonderful to have you back on. I'm excited for this show. It's going to be a lot of the Tabitha that we know, the energy, the command, the humor, and the empathy. But then you get to see the stories of these amazing families that you're helping, which is great. So it's A Relative Success with Tabitha. She's back on Bravo. And people can keep up with you on your social media by following you at, can you tell people your...
Tabitha Coffee on Instagram, Tabitha Coffee on Facebook, Twitter.
Everything.
And TabithaCoffee.com.
Got it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks
it was really
me.
Fun
was
to
great.
Talk to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.